Basketball.
Join AGA for its National Leadership Conference, February 17th and 18th at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center. AGA will bring together government, financial, management, and accountability leaders to share valuable insight, proven strategies, lessons learned. Sessions over current issues relating to the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the effects of political transitions, and what the future holds. Show your commitment to a more accountable future. Register today at agacgfm.org/NLC.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris, weekday morning 6 to 10.
We're talking with Tom Hicks. He's the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Energy.
Part of the Secretary's goals is that by 2020, half of our energy will come from alternative sources. And so by that timeline, and based on our working with industry, we feel that the fuels will be competitively priced with petroleum at that point, and we'll be able to use those as drop-in replacements into our ships, into our aircraft.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm here with Tony Byrne, president of the Real Story Group. How are you doing, Tony?
Good. And yourself?
Real Story Group sounds like a storyteller group or something. That's really what it is, and that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about maybe software development and web integration strategies and content management systems and the role of a story in all this. And I think many of my listeners may be considering different types of content management systems for their bureau, for their agency. And I thought we'd bring in Tony and maybe get a little different perspective on all this. But first of all, we got to do it up close and personal here and figure out how you wound up running this company.
Well, Jim, I worked for a systems integration company.
Uh-huh.
And I was really frustrated because the tools we were working with were really substandard for what we were trying to do. And on the one hand, we were struggling with them. On the other hand, I read all these brilliant analyst reports that said how wonderful these tools were. And I thought, there's got to be a better way to tell the real story about what's going on with this software, much of which was and still is somewhat immature.
And I think that's the role that many of my listeners are placed in, you know. I liked all the stories that my listeners, a typical federal IT professional, you get to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, you beat their head in the wall till 5, and then go home because they're getting pushed to be transparent and secure. They're getting pushed to do more with less staff. I mean, they're getting, it looks like a taffy pull here, getting pushed and pulled. And this is an issue they have with content management is how to select the right system that will be the blend between security and transparency. I don't think it's any easy choice, is it?
No, it's not an easy choice. And if you look across the federal space, you know, you can see successful and unsuccessful implementations across maybe 35, 40 different CMS technologies. So there's a lot of choices out there and, you know, a little bit of trail wisdom and gossip about which one, but it can be a very frustrating choice.
And your group has worked with organizations like Treasury, EPA, and Library of Congress. And so you have federal and commercial experience, which is what I really love because, you know, a lot of my listeners maybe feel a little insecure themselves because, oh, woe is me, I'm a little govy and I don't have any money. No. You're the exact same position as some guy in Cleveland or Chicago, is that you're getting pushed and pulled and you don't know how to do it. First of all, let's talk about the Real Story Group. You told me that you had changed your name. The earlier group was called CMS. What was it called before?
CMS Watch.
CMS Watch. Now, I remember seeing that in press releases or maybe in Network World or something, but CMS Watch is branded on me for some reason, and you changed the name of your company.
Yeah, we changed it just last year. You know, we started out originally 10 years ago just covering CMS technologies, and we started covering and evaluating some related tools like search, portals, collaboration, that sort of thing, and the name started becoming kind of anachronistic. So we took our tagline, which was Get the Real Story, and changed our name to the Real Story Group.
So realstorygroup.com, you can search it, and you can read your blog, and you can find out all kinds of information. A lot of different topics you handle there. Everything from web content management, enterprise portal technology. I mean, if you just think about it, if 10 years ago you were focusing on content management, you know, what has happened to technology in the last 10 years? I mean, what has happened in the last 6 months with handheld devices, with e-readers, with iPad? In the last 6 weeks, as far as phones go, I mean, look at the battles today with Windows 7 versus Android, iPhone. I mean, how can a content manager respond to those challenges?
Well, you know, the thing that you really want is a solid platform that can be flexible for you, particularly when you're doing things like, as you mentioned, delivering to multiple different devices. And, you know, one approach would be to build a whole bevy of device-specific applications. We think that's a real dark alley for people, and better to come up with a flexible electronic publishing platform where you can deliver to devices we haven't even thought of yet.
So, Tony, what your company does is it provides consulting services for people who are trying to analyze technology. And do you have any events, workshops that go along with that? Or?
Well, we participate in a lot of other events, so different conferences in town. We partner like with AIM, which is an industry association. And mostly what we do is publish our research. So you can go onto our website and purchase our reports and learn about the real weaknesses and strengths of the different tools.
Well, at 6 o'clock this morning, I was reading your blog, believe it or not, and the blog was titled Dealing with a Module Problem and the Rise of CMS Distributions or Distros. I can kind of understand what's going on, and when I first read that, I thought of a SharePoint installation, which maybe come with Company A's widgets and Company B's search and Company C's interface to a for a phone, and you would ostensibly think it would all work together, but maybe this doesn't mix well.
That's right. I mean, I think what we see are a lot of platforms, SharePoint among them, Drupal is another one, where you have this core which is more or less integral to itself, but then the typical implementation, you have to go out and get a number of third-party modules from various sources, and that module may be tested itself, but it may not play well with others. It may present new security and performance challenges, and so as a customer, unfortunately, this is yet another challenge that you have to deal with the whole ecosystem of vendors around that. And we have some very specific advice about how to do that and reduce your risks.
For example, SharePoint 2007, you get a widget that works perfectly. 2010 comes out. Now what, Tony? That's a perfect problem there, isn't
it? That's right. That's the upgradability problem. And that's why there's some promise in distributions where companies are putting together certified collections of modules that work with a particular platform that say, okay, we're going to guarantee that these are going to work together, that they can all be upgraded together. That we're going to validate and certify the security and so on and so forth. And so maybe you give up something in terms of functionality, but you get a complete package. And I think we're still in early days for this, but there's definitely a trend we see in the industry.
I think about 10 years ago when Wi-Fi first hit and all kinds of different specifications for Wi-Fi. And finally, Wi-Fi Alliance came up with this logo and said, Product A, that's Wi-Fi compatible, and it just made things so much easier, didn't it? And I guess now with software tools, they almost need some kind of a approval or good housekeeping seal.
Exactly.
Of approval.
Exactly. I mean, this is a real issue because big companies like Microsoft are somewhat squeamish about, you know, providing formal certifications. It's a lot of work, and the technology is moving so quickly, and it's the same thing with Drupal. And with other major packages, even if you take like IBM WebSphere. So it's a real issue, this absence of formal certification in a fast-moving environment, and this is where a number of third parties are going to step in with distros, I think.
So the concept of real story, it's on so many different levels. The real story is like the real scoop. The real story is also could be from software development, could be a user story or some kind of a platform for a story. And I think what we've learned is over the last maybe 3,000 years of human history that stories can be very powerful tools, can't they?
Extraordinarily powerful. And I'll tell you, that's the way that you really pick software and technology is you put together a testable story. And if you want, we can talk about this particularly as in the federal space, because I think that federal managers can do this, but often choose not to for a variety of reasons relative to their commercial peers. And I think there's some specific ways that they can get the real story themselves when they're picking tools.
I think it's almost a soft skill. I mean, if you get a hard-nosed tech guy in there, like we've had generals in here. If I walked up a couple of generals and said, well, you have to tell a story, they're going to throw something at me. I mean, but I think what has to happen is I think our audience and maybe what your company is obliged to do is to persuade the listeners that, no, this is a very, very time-effective and probably the least expensive way to integrate a system or to upgrade a system.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, you know, you can put together all the specification spreadsheets you want, but at the end of the day, it's actually people using these tools. Either your colleagues in the federal, you know, in your agency or your constituents out there in the world. And those people have to use this technology effectively or you haven't succeeded. And the only way to do that is to really simulate what they're going to be doing in some kind of a test environment so you can make sure that you're making the right choices.
So your company, Real Story Group, realstorygroup.com, has work papers or white papers on web technologies, enterprise information technologies, and on SharePoint as well. Mm-hmm. So you cover open source and licensed software.
That's right. And in fact, those two worlds are really converging now. We're seeing open source communities become more commercial as they evolve different business models, and we're seeing many commercial software companies, including Microsoft, really play to the strengths of building a broad community around a product, which has traditionally been the real rallying cry for open source tools.
We come back, talk a little bit more about open source versus licensed software, maybe talk about content management and some of the offerings that Real Story has. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Tony Byrne, president of the Real Story Group, talking about how to select enterprise-level software systems like content management systems and a whole wide range of products. Let's talk about the CMS reports and CMS Watch and the different reports you have available on your site. I have about half a dozen different ones that look kind of interesting. Everything from search to digital asset management reports, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And what these are sort of consumer report style guides to the major vendors, typically anywhere from 20 to 40 vendors, where we compare them head to head and take a much deeper and tougher look at their real weaknesses and strengths.
Okay, so let's say you're a typical listener and you have unlimited budget and read all the reports and you see five vendors that you're interested in. And give us a typical, from the perspective of one of my listeners, how would they go about this and how would they incorporate FAR into this decision making?
Yeah, so, you know, if you can get to a short list of five, that's great. We always recommend going through an RFI and an RFP process, even if it's not full and open. But there's a way to do that right. And the way to do that right is to center it not on reams and reams and reams of requirements checklists, but instead testable stories for all the different actors in the system, and to go through a task-based selection process. And there's a misperception among some federal managers that, you know, that the FAR doesn't let you do this, that you have to, you know, go through this sort of checklist process. But actually, I've seen several times in the federal space where hands-on testing and simulation and prototyping of the tool was part of the selection process. It's totally consistent with the FAR. And in the end, it will save you time and money and certainly save you from all kinds of headaches.
I was at the Deputy CIO's office in the Pentagon. It's a big high-level guy, all these generals and all these tough Marines all over the Pentagon. And we got in there, and he said, you know, we got to be more agile about our selection. We can't be that rigid and straight. And you think about these Marine guards as being like rock, and they are like rock. But I think in the software world, everything's changing so quickly. If you're like rock, you can break. If you're more flexible and loose, like an agile software methodology, or what you're talking about is an agile method of evaluating vendors, isn't it?
That's right. And it can be iterative, too. And, you know, I always say, you know, go out on a few dates. Selecting tools should be a series of increasingly more intimate encounters, because at the end of the day, you're going to get married. I mean, you're going to be stuck with this technology, and for better or worse. And so you want to know it really well. And you know what? We want to know what life is going to be like actually using and administering and securing this software. And you can't do that until you get it hands-on in something approaching a realistic environment.
If you read publications like the Washington Post, they talk about agencies being pushed into the cloud. Is this part of the testing process? Test it with a local server, test it in the cloud. Is this possible?
Yeah, if cloud is part of the solution set that you're looking at, or certainly part of an alternative, then absolutely. And compare and contrast cloud versus on-premise. And I can guarantee you there's going to be trade-offs in terms of performance, security, cost, adaptability, all sorts of other things. I think with respect to cloud in particular, this is another area where, again, because cloud is such an amorphous and over-abused term, that it's all the more reason that you want to test something rather than get lured into this notion that, you know, it's the cloud and therefore it's going to be good and sexy and attractive, because it may not be.
And I think this agile or this flexible way of approaching decision-making, it works. We had a gentleman in here who was putting up benefits.gov, and he looked at Amazon, and he looked at the Department of Agriculture and decided to ask the Department of Agriculture to host the site in Kansas. Well, guess what? That is a creative way to solve a problem. And he, from his perspective, it complied with all the security requirements, and it was cheaper than Amazon, gave him flexibility. But I don't think if you tried to make a list and check it twice, I don't know if that would pop up immediately. You'd have to be creative and flexible in these decisions.
Yeah, you've got to be creative, and it sounds like that was extremely creative and flexible and a really good use of federal resources and sharing. And it's the sort of thing that maybe you wouldn't know whether it's going to work unless you tested it. And so what I'm really talking about is, you know, don't say it, but do it.
Yeah, testing is always good. Now, I live in the world of software developers, and the new person always gets to do the testing. It's like, oh, Tony's a new guy. Hey, give him the testing, you know, and let him get frustrated. Yeah, we're going to do the creative stuff, but it has to be done, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And it's not just the kind of what you might traditionally think of, you know, unit testing and security testing. Of course, all that's critical. But what I mean by testing is actually validating it with the users who are going to be using the system, whether those are your colleagues within your agency or the general public who are going to be accessing the system. You have to really have them test it to make sure that it's what they need. Because, you know, we imagine that we can all discern these requirements in black and white on paper, but we're talking about interactive systems, and you can't really know how we're all going to behave and how we're going to achieve our business objectives until people are in front of that screen actually using that tool. Then you know.
I think it's very difficult to take a piece of paper and list 10 requirements, and then you'd have to be a Mozart or some kind of genius to figure out how that's going to play out in 6 months or 8 months, or how it's going to integrate with other systems.
That's right. And so what happens is that we go through this negative cycle where we say, well, then the way to make this inadequate is to turn those 10 into 100 and then 100 into 1,000 and then 1,000 into 10,000 checkboxes. And at the end of the day, you've just clouded things up anymore rather than brought more clarity to the issue.
If you are into following Twitter feeds, Tony has a Twitter site, a Twitter handle. It's TonyByrne. That's your handle on Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks, John.
I spent a lot of time yesterday doing some social networking myself, and I discovered that yesterday you released something called Internet Consultant on Call. Is that what you released your company? What's that all about?
Well, actually, it's not us. It's a colleague of mine named Martin Light, who's in the UK, but he's one of the most brilliant internet consultants I know. And so we often do work together where we help large organizations vet the technology side of an intranet, which can be portals, search, collaboration tools. And he deals, specializes in governance and other organizational issues, adoption and so forth around really large intranets. And so he has this new service. And you can find him at internetfocus.co.uk. He's a Brit, but he's done quite a bit of work in North America, including with the U.S. federal government.
So he must be a night owl, I assume, if he's based in the U.K. and all his work is here in California. That's a time zone problem, huh?
Yeah, but he makes it happen.
That's great. We're going to take a break when we come back, talk more about, I think maybe focusing on more on how to make decisions and what happens after you make the decision, and something we call buyer's remorse, and find out if that kicks in and how to handle some of those maybe decisions that have to be altered or changed. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we have Tony Byrne in the studio, who's the president of the Real Story Group, used to be known as CMS Watch. They start off analyzing content management systems, and now they analyze all kinds of different enterprise application programs. And I guess if I grabbed someone walking out of the 7-Eleven and I said enterprise software, they'd say SharePoint. So maybe we should talk a little about the big, huge, 800-pound monster SharePoint.
Yeah, SharePoint is ubiquitous, at least in North America, less so in some of the other markets that we cover. But you know, the question that we often hear is, why not SharePoint? You already have it at some level, so why not? And what we try to really encourage agencies is to instead ask, why SharePoint? For anything you're trying to do, ask why SharePoint rather than why not. It's a very different question and comes up often with some better answers.
And if it's the right fit, fine. And if it may be the right fit, it may not be the right fit.
That's right. And it's a dilemma for federal managers because Microsoft markets SharePoint to the business as a product, but to the IT as a platform. And so that leads to a lot of conflicting expectations where someone thinks it's going to do something out of the box and really it requires pretty substantial customization.
I've seen things like recovery.gov that start off as open source, wound up as SharePoint, and hosted at Amazon. And so if it comes to flexible solutions and creative solutions, well, there's a creative solution there. Who'd have thunk that? I never would have connected the dots like that. But I think what some of the tools that your company can provide is maybe guidance for trying to attempt to do some of that evaluation.
That's right, to try to sort these things out from business and technical perspective and look at the inevitable trade-offs and say, okay, SharePoint has XYZ weaknesses, but it also has ABC strengths. So how is this going to work for me and what is life going to be like if I go the SharePoint route relative to its alternatives?
If my listeners want to keep up with this type of technology and maybe information, are there any? I've never asked this question before. Are there any podcasts you listen to keep up on a regular basis with some of these changes?
You know, to be honest, I don't keep up with podcasts as much. I probably should. I think when they become a little bit better searchable in some ways, I may. But certainly, there's quite a few blogs and Twitter. You know, obviously, keeping up on Twitter. I find it really helpful to isolate certain hashtags on Twitter and search according to those, and that's how you can really keep up.
I was listening to a presentation by Charlene Lee, and she said that the number one search engine, of course, is Google. The number two is YouTube. And so people may put in a content management system in YouTube and try to get information that way, which from my perspective would be maybe number 10 or 11 search tool that I'd use. I would probably more be biased towards actually a piece of paper and then maybe next towards maybe some kind of an online demo. But that's a fascinating approach to evaluating content management systems. YouTube, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, this takes us back to a discussion we had a little bit earlier that what you can see is much better than what you can read when we're talking about interactive technologies. So YouTube and what we do now in a number in some of our workshops and increasingly in some of our reports is to actually show screens of what's actually happening, because a picture tells 1,000 words, tells 1,000 stories. You know, a moving picture shows you even more.
And so what you can do is you can go to realstorygroup.com and find out what's going on, see what kind of conference you're participating in, read your blog. I think there's 4 or 5 different folks that blog there. Do you have vertical categories there, or topical, or how are you folks divided?
Well, we divide primarily by technology, such as portals versus collaboration versus web content management versus enterprise search and so forth. But in some industries like document and records management, verticals become really important. So doing document and records management in a federal environment is quite different to doing it, say, in a private sector environment.
You know, what's interesting is that disaster recovery in the commercial world is called DR, but in the federal world is called COOP.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Yep.
Exact same thing. And I think some of the concepts like certification accreditation in the federal space mean one thing, and in the commercial space they mean something completely different. It's almost you have to have a dictionary to understand some of these stories.
Yeah, you know, and we tend to see a lot of similarities between private and public sector scenarios. The one thing that I would say, particularly in the federal space, is that the sheer size of the challenges tend to outweigh what we'll see on the commercial side. The size of the websites in particular are enormous, sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for not so good reasons. And so from a web content management perspective in particular, we see some of the stiffest challenges that we encounter from our experience has definitely been in the federal environment.
When someone buys a house, usually they move in and they start looking around the neighborhood saying, geez, I could have got that one a mile away, or this one 2 miles. Oh, I'm a fool. And it's called buyer's remorse. Now, if you're a federal IT professional and you're choosing between eeny, meeny, miny, mm-hmm. and you choose eeny, the day you sign the contract, you're going to call up Tony and go, hey, Tony, I might have bought the wrong thing with product A here, huh?
Yeah, and that's natural whenever you make any big decision. And again, these are all about trade-offs. And so the key thing is to do your research up front and make sure that you know not just the benefits, but the inevitable weaknesses of any solution and those trade-offs before you go in and say, okay, yeah, it does have a small kitchen, but you know, it's got this big garage and that's what, and I'll take that. Right.
And someone's going to knock on your door and say, that kitchen's too small. And then you're going to have got your list and say, well, you know, this is the balance. We had to accommodate, you know, the 7 kids. So we had to have a 7-bedroom house and a smaller kitchen. Well, how are you going to feed those kitchens? I mean, there's always got to be a trade-off.
And
no
the key
what.
Thing is, though, is that you knew what you were getting into. You did your research. Obviously, I'm biased towards research because that's what we sell, but also that you tested the solution and that you're able to articulate to your peers and to your colleagues, this is why we went this route. And we know that there's inevitable warts to this system, but there's some good stuff too. And this is the reason why we went in this direction.
Well, this is radio, but I can't show this, but we have a crystal ball here and I'm going to put it in front of Tony and find out where he thinks this is all going to head the next 5 to 10 years. No one could have predicted Facebook. No one could have predicted these handheld devices 5-8 years ago. What do you think is going to happen in 5 to 7 years?
Well, this sounds kind of boring, but I think we're going to see more of same. But in this case, same is going to be constant innovation, constant change. Cloud is this year's mantra. Next year, it's going to be any number of different things. And so even things like Twitter came up out of nowhere, and now people are talking about doing this within the enterprise. So I think we're going to see more consumer and public media formats pervade the enterprise. And so really, one of the things that we're talking to pretty large enterprises about is to develop flexible platforms that they can publish to multiple devices that you can extend to the cloud if you need to, and to really avoid proprietary lock-in whenever you can.
So trying to be loose and flexible, and at least try to be open-minded to what may happen down the road.
That's right.
I don't know how you can predict it, but I guess you can structure an enterprise that will be open to new innovations, at least as open as you can conceive it.
Mm-hmm.
Today we talked about content management systems and analyzing enterprise software with Tony Byrne, the president of the Real Story Group.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Join AGA for its National Leadership Conference, February 17th and 18th at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center. AGA will bring together government, financial, management, and accountability leaders to share valuable insight, proven strategies, lessons learned. Sessions over current issues relating to the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the effects of political transitions, and what the future holds. Show your commitment to a more accountable future. Register today at agacgfm.org/NLC.
Newsmakers on the Dorabeck Insider.
Tom Trabucco, Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board.
Somebody noticed a change in their account balance that didn't reflect contributions or earnings. So what we did is activated our core at the call centers to give them information for any of these folks to tell them of our plan to get this right. We'll notify all affected participants, offer to take the funds back, reverse the transaction, and make them whole.
Hear the entire interview online. Federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck.